probably all of us as Catholics are somewhat accustomed to someone raising the question with us, why do you call priests Father? When Jesus says so clearly to call no man on earth your Father. And probably, at least for me, when I read that passage, that always kind of jumps out at me. Because I've heard that accusation against us so many times, that we call somebody here on earth our Father. You know, I think the readings today are important readings for us priests to listen to. But I'm not sure that's really the message that Jesus wants us to take home with us. No one, call no one on earth your Father. Because if you look at the scriptures, they don't even observe that teaching. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, says, I became your Father in Christ. In Philippians 2:22, he refers to himself as a spiritual father. There's a couple places in Acts of the Apostles where St. Paul talks about his spiritual fatherhood. If you go to the first letter of St. John, he says, the Father is among you. So the scripture seems to have no prohibition about calling someone Father. And so I don't think we can say that that is really the message Jesus was trying to convey. What he was trying to talk about, though, was people who wanted to make their authority known. People who wanted to impress others with the authority, the power they had in the community. He wanted to get across the message, and that most important message, that as members of Christ Jesus, we are truly brothers and sisters to one another, and we are called to be servants to one another. And that indeed, the greatness among us is to the extent that we are willing to pour out our lives in service to those around us. And that's an important message for those of us who serve in leadership in the church. Our leadership is not to bring honor. It is not to bring power or prestige. It's meant to be a position of service. And whether you're a priest or bishop or pope, whether you work in some lay ministry, the important thing is how do we serve one another. First reading today was also aimed at the Old Testament priests. It was aimed at a time when many of them were using their position not to serve the people, but for glory, for honor, for prestige, and a few for money. And so all the readings kind of have a little bit of a focus on that, of how the leadership of the church ought to be living, how they ought to be functioning. But I'd like to talk about priesthood today, not from that aspect, but in a different way. In this diocese, we have an urgent need for priests. We have 31 priests serving in our diocese now. When I was ordained, we had 60 priests. So it's almost cut in half. Of those 31 priests, 16 are native to the United States. So that means there are 15 who have come here from other countries. Of those priests that are native to the United States, two of them are among to us from the Wichita Diocese. One of them is a order priest. He's a Carmelite priest. He comes from New York State. And then Father Timothy Hickey just has come to our diocese. He's on loan from the Diocese of Hartford, Connecticut. And so, priests that are native to this country, really native to this area, are very few. Now, I'm very grateful to the priests we have from places like the Philippines, from Vietnam, from Burma, from India, from parts of Africa. I'm very grateful for their service, because they serve here sometimes at great sacrifice. If you can imagine, and most of these priests are relatively young, being a young man away from your family, away from your culture, trying to serve in leadership in a culture that is not your own, that's a great personal sacrifice to them. The other side of that coin is that it sometimes is great sacrifice to the people they serve, because they are being served by someone that they struggle to understand their accent. They struggle because the cultures are so different. They don't always connect well one with the other. And so it's a hardship on both sides. What we need is priests who come from this part of the United States. We need priests who are at home here in Southwest Kansas and who are ready to serve the people of this area. In our whole history as a diocese, we have not been able to supply the priests that we need that come from our own area. We have brought them in from Ireland. We've had some come from other parts of the country. But we have not been self-sufficient in providing for ourselves the ministry that we need. And that is not the sign of a vibrant church. When we cannot produce our own leadership, we cannot produce the priests that we need, it is saying that something is deeply lacking within our living of our Christian faith. Now, the priests that we need must come from our own families. They must come from people who grew up here, who are at home here, are willing to spend their lives serving the people here. Now, from my own perspective, I often wonder why more young men don't choose to be priests. Because I have found it to be a very rewarding life. In truth, I can't think of a more rewarding life. I have found what I do to be very meaningful and very rewarding. Do I have regrets that I became a priest? No, none. I have a few regrets that I haven't done it better, but I have no regrets that I chose to become a priest. Would I do it again? Yes, definitely. Have there been sacrifices? Yeah. Have there been difficulties? Yeah, there have been. But I'm not sure that those sacrifices or those difficulties are any greater than any of you have experienced. You know, there's sacrifices for having a family. There's difficulty being married. All of those things bring a certain amount of personal struggle. I have never felt that my life as a priest brought great sacrifice or great hardship. Has some of this been difficult? Yeah, at times. Mostly in my early years. But then, one day, I realized that what being celibate allowed me to do. It allowed me to be available to people in a way that I could never be if I were married. suddenly my struggle with being celibate went away. Because what I valued so much about being a priest was that very capacity to be available to people. And if that availability was limited, I don't think I would like the priesthood near as much as I do. You know, from time to time, there is somebody that does a survey, a priest. You know, are you happy? Would you do it again? And the amazing thing is that in those surveys, and the statistics vary just a little bit from one survey to another, but around 90% of the priests will say they are either happy or they are very happy. You don't find that in many other professions. This is a number of years ago, maybe 10 to 15 years ago. Time magazine had a survey of which professions are the most satisfied with their choice. And the two that came out on the top were firefighters and clergy. Those are the happiest groups of people in this country. Now, that clergy did not just include Catholic clergy, it included clergy of all denominations. And yet, among the group of clergy, priests tend to be extremely happy. And I realized that one must be called by God to be a priest. You know, if one were to do this without that call, I doubt if you would find it very fulfilling. And what I think is happening in the church today is not that God is not calling. It is that that call is being ignored. I firmly believe there are people God is calling to priesthood that are not open to hearing what God is saying in their lives. And of course, that lack of response to God's call is why we have such a shortage of priests today. God wants ministers for His people. But we have to listen, we have to respond. And what I would like to say to any young man, and I notice there's not a whole bunch of you here, but to any young man, if God is calling you, He will give you the grace to be happy. He won't call you to a miserable life. He might call you to some sacrifice, but you will even find the sacrifice very rewarding. Many of you will remember Father Joseph Barr. Some of you maybe never met him. But at my 25th anniversary of the priesthood, I asked Father Barr to give the homily. And this is right, this is in 1997. This is when we had just closed 7 or 8 parishes in the diocese, and so there was a lot of unhappiness going around. And Father Barr told the story during the homily at my anniversary mass about a mother that he encountered at one of the parishes that had been closed, and she was pretty bitter. And he said to her, "You have quite a few sons. Would you be willing for one of your sons to be called to be a priest?" She said, "No." You know, so it's not just the young person being called, it also has to be the family that are open to that call. Once again, to believe that if God calls their son, He's going to call them to a fulfilling life. I'd like to do a survey of parents of priests. No way to do that, probably. I'm not in a position to do that. But I'd like to. Because I think we would find they are very satisfied that their son's being priest. And I think of my own situation, how being a priest gave me some freedom to be travel with my parents that my siblings did not have. It gave me an availability to my parents at the end of their life. My dad died in the town where I served, in Pratt. Matter of fact, I was preparing to move him into the rectory to have full-time nursing care coming into the rectory. He died before I got him there. My mother, she spent her last 9 years living in Dodge City, where I visited her almost every day. I was much more available to her than any of my other siblings. And I traveled with them when they were able, took them to visit relatives when they were no longer feeling good to drive themselves. I'd like to visit with the parents of Father Jacob. If I get a chance, I will. I'd like to ask him how they feel about having a son that's in the priesthood. The parents of Father Wesley are very quiet people, especially the dad. I doubt if I could get him to say much. But I sense his mother is, and both of them are very proud of him. I don't think they feel they lost something when they let their son become a priest. And so I think the point I'm making is simply, we need to have an openness to God's call in our lives. And the parents need to be open to where God is calling their sons and daughters. We need priests to serve the people of our diocese. And if they're going to serve well, they need to come from among us. They need to be coming from our families, from our homes, from our communities, so that they can relate to our communities. They can relate to the lifestyle that is here. They can become signs of God's presence to the communities they serve.